So what was your transition challenge? You had a lot of things that prepared you from the moment you came in to the time you retired. But what did you go through on the downside? What did you struggle with as you made your pivot to become a civilian?
I think part of it was the uniform. And stepping out of a uniform into civilian clothes, I had the stature, the position of senior chief. When you take off the uniform and you move into a civilian position, you don't have that. I think that was probably a bit of a challenge, losing the prestige of the uniform and the medals.
That was Rusty Robinson on how he struggled to find his mission after leaving the military. Today, we'll learn from Rusty what his transition was like, what he struggled with, and how he overcame those issues to start his own IT consulting firm, Performance 360. And now, on with the show. I'm here with Maurice Wilson, a retired Navy Master Chief Petty Officer with 25 years of service. Maurice is the President Executive Director of the National Veterans Transition Services Incorporated and Reboot, a nonprofit organization he founded. I'm also here with our honorary guest, Rusty Robinson, a 22-year retired Navy veteran and the president and founder of Performance 360. He is a senior advisor for multiple enterprise service management projects using ServiceNow platform, a certified ITIL 4 managing professional, and our very own CCS Learning Academy's lead instructor. Welcome to our fourth podcast. Happy to have you both.
Hey, good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
And same here. Good afternoon, Kajal. Glad to be on the podcast with you.
So nearly two-thirds of new veterans say they face difficult transitions into civilian life. This podcast is all about helping veterans find their identity after service and offer some guidance, advice, or tips on how to achieve that. So Rusty, I'm just going to ask you some questions and help the listeners get to know a little bit about your story. And if you have any advice along the way, I'd love to hear that as well.
Absolutely.
So Rusty, tell us about your history, maybe a little bit of your childhood, your schooling, and your background.
I grew up in Northern California, went to high school. Prior to that, I had lived part of my life up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so that's where I became a big Packer fan. When I graduated high school, I didn't know what to do. I liked electronics, I liked rockets and missiles, and decided to join the Navy. And I was able to get into advanced electronics school. I signed up to be a missile radar technician, and I was able to get advanced training. So I went to boot camp down in San Diego, and then I went up to Great Lakes, Illinois for some of my training, and then came back out to San Diego. And once I had finished my training, I went to my first ship, which was on the East Coast. So I took a nice road trip across country. I was on the USS Richard E. Byrd and had a chance to do three deployments, a North Atlantic, Mediterranean cruise, and a Middle East deployment. So that was absolutely fantastic. That was on a guided missile destroyer. So I did that for a number of years, and then I got transferred down to San Diego on another guided missile destroyer, and I had a chance to go on a WestPac. So I had a great career, as many have in the Navy. So I've been to over 30 countries, and to go on four different deployments was absolutely fantastic. Both my parents had passed away when I was younger, and so it also gave me a chance to kind of grow up, right, and learn how to grow into a man and have the ability to have the challenges and the responsibilities of working on advanced missile system and take that on board. As I kind of wrapped up that part of my career, I was able to get stationed at Mare Island up in Northern California. And that is where I was able to do advanced training, got into curriculum development. And so it elevated my career and my skill sets to a whole different level, which was phenomenal because I was able to use that when I did retire and get out. That kind of set the tone for me to move into my next career moves.
That sounds like an incredible story, and it looks like a lot of those things that you did in your military career really set you up for success in your civilian life. But before we get into more of what you're doing right now, I'd love to learn a little bit more about how your transition was into civilian life and what was that like? Were there any challenges that you faced?
Yeah, great question. Well, I was stationed down at the Naval Leader Training Unit in San Diego for the last 3 years, but my last 7 years, I got into total quality leadership. And that's where I was certified in the courses that the Navy has, all five of them. I was able to get certified and be able to teach those. And they were phenomenal. It was an incredible career move for me. And at one of my commands, I took over as a command coordinator. And I remember Lieutenant Balish set me down, and I was a senior chief at the time. And he said, "Senior chief, are you ready for this?" I said, "I am. I'm ready for the position of total quality leadership coordinator." He says, "Well, this is going to screw you up for the rest of your life." And what he meant by that is that that frame of reference and that thinking about total quality leadership and how it applies to not only personal leadership excellence, but organizational leadership excellence. And using the skills of team knowledge and skills and methods for managing quality and all these things that were the framework for total quality leadership were outstanding for me to be able to be certified. So when I retired in 1998, I found the transition very easy for me. I felt I was very well prepared to move into a civilian career opportunity. And I did. I found a position with SAIC, a large company system and a software system integrator, a large DoD firm here in San Diego, and found a very good position with them. It was also easy for me, Kajal, in that transition because I was ready. I had finished my 22 years. And I felt like, for me, I was pretty well prepared to move into that next phase of my life. Really, I was excited and I was maybe a little anxious, but I think that's probably normal. But I didn't have any fear. I felt I was well prepared. And one of the other things that I found as I was getting ready to retire, there's a program. Maurice, help me out here. I think it was called CTAP. Does that sound familiar?
TAP. The Trans Program.
Yes.
Yeah, and I retired in 1998 as well. So you and I went through some of the same things during that time frame. And again, I agree with you. The whole concept behind total quality leadership really made you a better person at managing things and in looking at a broad spectrum of things. And so getting out wasn't really a big problem because, again, there really was no fear. Because you were prepared. And when you look at what's happening today and you poll a lot of the transitioning service members, what you find are a lot of people aren't necessarily ready to get out and they have that fear factor. So I think in the time that you and I were getting out, I know for my transition, I planned it like 2.5 years prior to getting out. Mm. So, you know, it was one of those scenarios. You know, I retired on a Friday and then went to work on a Monday.
Wow.
And so there really was no lapse there. The whole challenge was to really find that identity. You know, who are you? And, you know, for me, that was a big shock after so many years of being called Master Chief or being equated to my military service. Then all of a sudden, one day you're a civilian. So there was some mixed emotions out there as I began to pivot. But I want to go back and ask you, Rusty, so what was your transition challenge? You had a lot of things that prepared you from the moment you came in to the time you retired. But what did you go through on the downside? What did you struggle with as you made your pivot to become a civilian?
I think part of it was the uniform. And stepping out of a uniform into civilian clothes, I had the stature, the position of senior chief. When you take off the uniform and you move into a civilian position, you don't have that. I think that was probably a bit of a challenge, losing the prestige of the uniform and the medals and having that. But it wasn't a big thing, but I did kind of miss that.
You know, when you look at the three big areas that we typically struggle in. It breaks down to identity, finding your next mission or your next purpose. Because in the military, you know, we're so mission focused and mission driven that we often forget about ourselves and we put everything into the mission at hand. And then the third thing is really creating our new brand of who we are now, as opposed to the brand of the services that we operate in. And so those three things are what sometimes kind of stifles folks in terms of, okay, where do I go from here? What do I do next? And again, the uniform piece, I can relate to that, where with the uniform on, people know who you are, basically where you came from and what you can do just by looking at your insignia. Mm-hmm. So they can look at That's your right. insignia. They can look at your medals. They can see any of your designators right there. They can pretty much read you. So it makes the whole identification process pretty straightforward. On the outside, the shift, though, is that now you don't have all of those outward signals where now you have to get to learn the person. So that really is a behavioral shift where you take things as they come to, I don't know that person. I have to really get outside of my comfort zone and start networking, building new relationships, really getting to know people, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, it was just a big shift from what I knew into the way that I had to learn how to work with people as opposed to the style that I had developed in the military. And, you know, in the military, as you go up the ranks, it somewhat becomes that intrusive nature. That's how you approach things on the civilian side of the house. But you have to become a little bit more understanding, more sensitive. I'll use the term, you have to become a little bit more human.
A little more tactful and diplomatic.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't say all the things that you said when you were in uniform. You have to censor yourself.
Yeah, and you know, you had positional authority as well. And so that was also mm-hmm. part of your stature and who you are.
So one of the things that we find is that roughly 80% of transition and service members are looking to start a new, and that seems to be just well documented. It just seems mm-hmm. to be the current challenge, whereas some may get out and not necessarily know exactly what it is they can do. It doesn't mean that they're not skilled. They're probably highly skilled and have done a lot of phenomenal things in the military, but a lot of what they were doing on the inside was extrinsically driven, but now they have to shift to find the intrinsic thing. You know, what do they want to do? When you got out and you started to evolve, when you got your first job at SAIC, I sometimes say that you're working with SAIC is almost like working with the military, because
oh, it was
quite a few of us there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you were still surrounded with the culture, which made it somewhat easy, your journey back home. And so can you tell us about how you evolved to where you are today?
Yeah, and you're right. The culture there was very accommodating. And so I think that helped in that transition. But where I started to advance my thinking and my skill sets and getting other opportunities to get training was really around IT service management and the application of IT and technology, working on a couple of very large programs. And it was great because one of the things was I was able to be a business process manager on a joint network management system. And within SAIC, they had achieved a CMMI level 5 certification, which is the highest maturity rating that you can achieve. And I led that effort for one of the focus projects for the company. And so that helped me get exposure to a framework for excellence that was a model for any organization, whether it's DOD, it could be in healthcare, it could be education, it could be manufacturing. So it was good to have that level of exposure and that experience to get that other additional business acumen. And then from there, I was able to work on another large project building the new network of the future being deployed on ships. As I got promoted, that gave me another opportunity to take on even a bigger responsibility. I was with a consultant firm, and it was a multi-billion dollar effort. So it allowed me to work with a lot of different types of companies and different types of people, even more so than in the Navy. It was a great opportunity to learn in advance and add to my resume. So that's one of the things that I think about, not only leveraging what I had known in the military, but adding to that and growing, right? Becoming that lifelong learner, getting other certifications under my belt, working on other projects, taking on different types of jobs and responsibilities that I think would maybe even correlate to those that are moving out of the military and ready to transition into a civilian role or a position, something that they would want to consider, right? Keeping that saw sharpened and keeping on the cutting edge of technology and those opportunities.
We covered the identity part, what that was like, and then we just covered the actual work activities, things that you're doing, that you're skilled at, that you're really cut for. The other area that veterans seem to have a challenge with is finding your purpose, like doing things that you want to do, things that you were made to do. Basically, hey, I'm working in an area that I don't even care if they paid me. I'm so happy working. I'm where I'm at. I found my purpose. So on that note, have you found your passion? Like, hey, this is what I was cut for. And this is where I'm going to make my mark, leave my legacy. Are you there yet?
That's a great question. I would say yes to both. I have found my passion in the last 5 to 10 years or so, moving into helping companies achieve performance excellence. And it correlates to kind of the next phase of my career. Once I finished my time at SAIC, what I did discover as part of my drive and my passion was I wanted to become independent. And it was a little risky for me because when you have the comfort of being in an organization and have a salary along with the benefits, there's a certain amount of reassurance that you have for your family. In 2003, I decided to start my own consultancy. I worked on a couple different consulting projects within the company, and I saw an opportunity to make money, to make an impact, and do things that I wanted to do, the way that I wanted to do them. And that correlates back to my passion. I wanted to help individuals and organizations achieve world-class performance excellence. And that's where I ventured out to start my own company, Performance 360. So that's where I was struggling and trying to figure out, what's my next steps? Do I want to go work for another company? I could have done that. And by the way, I did do that even after I started my own company. There were opportunities that presented themselves to me working with other consultant firms, mainly around ServiceNow, that platform, and consult with other companies to help them deploy and bring their service platforms to life. So along that path, I found that my purpose and my passion and what I like to do was lining up. It was risky, but I chose to go down that path because I wanted to make a difference. And I found that I had more freedom as an independent consultant to do what I wanted to do and work with the types of clients and the people that I wanted to work with. And I had that affiliation, and there was a connection there where maybe I didn't have that kind of connection when I was within a company, because there's certain mission and vision and core values that are part of the company culture and even styles of leadership that I felt that as an independent, I could grow that into my own, which I did. And that helped me find that passion and what I wanted to do as the next steps in my career.
You know, it's so interesting. I just want to say we're always working for somebody.
Yep.
When we all pivot and say, I want to start my own business. I want to be my own boss. What I tell people, yeah, but you're still going to be working for somebody. That never changes. It's just the pressure is now really squarely on your shoulders. When you join the military gives you three things. It gives you a new identity. Mm-hmm. It gives you a mission, i.e. your purpose, and then it gives you an occupation. So when you finish your tour, whatever your tour is, from 4 years to 35 or 40 years, you have to pivot, and then you have to go out and reclaim it. You got to first find your identity now that you're no longer in the uniform. And I can say it took about 3 or 4 years for me to really get comfortable in my own skin and being around people and networking and understanding the cultural nuances of how things are done, building your unique brand, because that's what gets you through the door. I would say it took me about 5 to 7 years to build my unique brand. But when it came to the purpose and the passion and like finding that unique thing that I want to do, it took me about 10 years. Does that sound about right? And as you reflect back on how long did it take you to get to where you are? Because again, our listeners are listening in on what's next for them. How do they navigate? What steps should they take? How should they put things in perspective? What can you share with them that will help them get some insights into how to navigate the next chapter or the next journey of their life?
Where I'm at currently, I'm in a breakthrough mastermind group. That has helped me kind of formulate my company and focus. But I would go back to what you had said, Maurice, about your journey and taking about 10 years. It has taken me about that long as well. And so when I first jumped out on my own, I bit off more than I could chew. And it was pretty challenging. And so that's where I had an opportunity to work for another company. I did that for a period of time. I grew. I kept my company still growing. So then I started back up as Performance 360, and I had taken on some new clients, some new opportunities. And then through a friend of mine was introduced to a hiring manager for another consultant firm. That was another step up in my career. I was able to then take that position on, work with other clients, other consultants, learn more of my craft, more of my trade, kept my company, Performance 360, but I was able to add some other skill sets and some other business acumen. And I found that over that 10-year period, I had done that about 3 different times. I kept it going, but I didn't have all of the pieces together. And like you said, it sounds like the grass might be greener on the other side until you get there, especially being an independent, because you're a one-man band. And there's a lot of things that you have to do to run a business, from finance to marketing to sales to your business operations to branding and having your own IP, your own intellectual property. So it is a challenge. Fortunately, I was able to each time pivot and grow and learn and then come back to it. Now I'm at a point where I'm very happy where my company is at. I have a lot of strategic partners that I have developed over the last probably 5 years, one of them being CCS Learning Academy, and I have others, and it's been a wonderful opportunity to develop these relationships and these strategic partners. I couldn't have done that 10 years ago. I just wasn't that ready. I wasn't that mature. But now I'm at a position where I feel very good where I'm at. I've got a great portfolio of training and curriculum and training and consulting, a catalog of capabilities that I can bring to bear with clients. And so I'm very happy, but it's not a simple turnkey thing like a lot of people think.
Well, you know, I often tell a lot of the students that go through the Reboot Workshop is that there is a gestation period between the ideas that you have and the maturation process as you evolve. There are a lot of things that are taking place there as you create a new identity, as you find your new purpose, as you build your new brand. And these are all things that you're doing simultaneously. And in many cases, people are doing it without guidance. And in some cases, it could extend the learning curve more, where it may take some people maybe 10 years. It could take 20 years. Actually, I've spoken to some Vietnam era veterans. They're still trying to figure it all out. They haven't got there yet. But there are some things that can be done along the way, and you pointed them out. One of them is the whole mastermind. I've been in a mastermind group now going on 12 years, and we meet religiously every Saturday morning from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, and we rarely ever miss a Saturday. And it's sort of like you have to get outside of yourself and get other ideas and opinions and thoughts so that you can begin to make sense of who you are and where you want to go. And again, it sounds like you're doing that. And then you've evolved to that point where you want to be, everything is working, all my customers and clients are comfortable with me. It's very important that people understand that. And even working with like CCS Global Tech, and I think as people are making that pivot from military to civilian, I tell people, don't necessarily look for a job per se, look for a company that you can grow with. You know, just like you working with SAIC, that was an organization that you can grow with up into that time that you're ready to move to the next level or the next level. And CCS is one of those companies that individuals can grow with. You know, there's a program to make that initial pivot and then evolve as an intern and then work on projects. And again, you nailed it where in many cases, it's about experience. And experience comes from working on teams and working on projects.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it takes time to get there. And the fact that you've been in that mastermind group for so long, that's awesome. And we need that. We need that as business owners, as leaders, as individuals. It helps you mature. Mm-hmm. It goes back to your identity, right? At being your own person and being comfortable in your own skin and doing the things that you're gifted at, that you want to do. That's why I'm so grateful that I have my own company. I've been blessed with great clients and great opportunities over the years, and it's getting better. So you always need to sharpen the saw and stay connected with like-minded people. So looking at those that want to get a new skill set, I think they have an incredible opportunity to leverage the various courses that are available so that they can get reskilled and get retrained and get certified in areas that just makes them more valuable in the marketplace and more valuable for an organization for them to go in and make an impact. I think those are some of the skills that we learn in the military that transition very nicely. It's those the leadership skills, the core values of courage, honor, and commitment, for example. Those resonate in your heart and your soul, right? And you can bring those with you to that organization, and that helps you kind of fit in and to make a difference.
It's no doubt that we have what it takes to fit into a company, but you have to do the inner work. And this is on each one of us to find our identity, to find our purpose, and find our brand. The company can't give that to us, but the company is where we manifest these attributes. And what I tell people is that transitioning is a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and you have to go through some phases of learning and relearning so that you can reestablish yourself. Again, it's important, and you pointed it out, that we try not to do this by ourselves. And in fact, what we found is that roughly 70% of transitioning service members are really out there trying to do it by themselves. Without a network, without mentors, without advisors, without really tapping into some of the vast resources that we have in all the communities across the country. And so what I say to a lot of the listeners out there is try not to do this by yourself. Find a peer network. Find your buddies. Find buddies that are positive and really optimistic and really are looking at achieving a better life. We're all going to eventually take off the uniform. We're all going to make that shift from military to civilian. What we have to do, just like when we're training for the mission and mission readiness, we have to train for reintegration into civilian life. And it's important to seek out organizations that can help you. And there's a large number of organizations out there. And Rusty, you have any other organizations out there that you would recommend?
So one of the things that I got certified in is Disabled Veteran Business Enterprise, DVBE, and Service Veteran Business Owned Certification as well. And you can add those certifications to your portfolio or to your resume. Another one is Small Business Development Center. That's another local resource. They have workshops on business planning if you wanted to open your own business. There's also a SCORE program to help you. And conferences. I would add that to the mix as well, Maurice, in terms of lifelong learning. But If you're into a particular domain of IT, there are some great opportunities to get additional certifications or attend conferences that have workshops and presentations and seminars and white papers that can help add to your own business acumen.
Yeah, there's a plethora of organizations and resources that people can tap into, from Veterans in Business, they call it VIB, to the Rosie Network. You got Veterans Chambers of Commerce. There are tons of resources. What I say to everyone out there, don't do it alone. And just like Rusty said, attend conferences. There are so many conferences. Most cities have what we call a Regional Economic Development Corporation. Most cities have Chambers of Commerce. Most cities have what they call business journal groups. I just recommend that people look through the Eventbrite events and just find what events and activities are taking place just by typing in veterans. Meetup is another one. Build your network. I can't emphasize that enough. And I can tell you that from an employer's perspective, and I talk to a lot of employers, they love veterans. They want to hire veterans. What they tell me is they have a hard time finding veterans. So let's not make it too difficult on them. Let's get out there and make sure we found them. So let's pull Cadjo back into it so we can start winding down and wrapping up. But I really appreciated talking with you, Rusty. You're doing some fantastic things. I wanted to salute you for all the hard work and the examples and the role model that you are.
Thank you, Maurice. It's been a pleasure being on with you. So I wish you well, and it's great to connect with you. It's just phenomenal work. Very good.
Thank you.
These have been amazing conversations, and typically I'm in the mix of today. I took a step back and let you guys head the whole thing because you guys have so much similarity and lots of great advice for transitioning veterans, and not even the transitioning veteran, but maybe even the veteran out there who has transitioned, who's still finding purpose, who maybe wants to take the risk and start their own business. So I think your background, Rusty, Maurice, your influence within specifically the San Diego community and nationwide, this is such a great podcast to really hone in on that. And what we have a lot of times as our takeaway is use your resources wisely, use the benefits and the outreach and your network to the full advantage and get out there. So Maurice, I know you did some hot seat questions. We have some hot seat questions for Rusty that I'd love to ask here. So what's one of your greatest fears in terms of what we've been talking about that come across your mind?
Yeah, I think probably not being prepared. I like to be prepared when I'm going in with a client or with a workshop, and trying to be prepared is important, right? And it's important for people to have a sense of comfort. Now, you're always going to get thrown a curveball, but I find that as I am more prepared, I'm more relaxed, I'm more myself, and I relate better and have more confidence in what I'm doing.
And as it relates to this podcast and the listeners out there, what's your next mission?
Kind of the same. I really want to advance the concepts and strategies and approaches for performance excellence and get individuals and leaders visibility into frameworks for performance excellence within the organization. I think there's a lot of opportunity with the IDLE 4. It's been recently refreshed. They've taken a number of years to put together all the new courses. So I think there's a big opportunity for clients, and especially now with COVID, enormous challenges with remote learning or remote work. Those are all things that the training could advance and apply to. So that's kind of my mission. I want to continue down that path and bring more of the new advanced cutting edge training, whether that's in agile or value stream management, DevOps, IT service management, enterprise service management. There's a lot of technology challenges out there. There's a lot of new cutting edge technologies, and companies are challenged with those investments. And so that's what I'm looking forward to, is helping them mature and improve.
Yeah, absolutely. And at CCS, we really do that on a daily basis. You being one of our lead instructors, we love to help organizations and individuals keep IT talent up to date. That's our ultimate goal there. So that concludes our fourth episode of Your Next Mission. I want to thank Maurice and Rusty for your time and insights today. And thank you all to the listeners out there for giving us your time. This will not be the last time you hear from Maurice or Rusty. They have such great wisdom and guidance, and they'll be on episodes in the future, so stay tuned. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Your Next Mission and learned something from Rusty's transition story. If you have any questions for Maurice or myself, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please send us an email at veterans@ccsglobaltech.com. That's veterans with an S at ccsglobaltech.com. Please tune in next month when we hear from Toby Rehm, a former veteran who is now a cloud program manager at Microsoft.